ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So Lord Krishna is completely free. He need not take part in the creation at all. And because he doesn't take part in creation directly, he is not bound by the fruits of his action. Who is bound by the fruits of his action? Only one who is attached to the fruits of his action. He becomes bound by the fruits of his action. Krishna created such a beautiful world. Sometimes poets write so many things about the world. People adore the waterfalls. People adore the big oceans. People try to mark different lands and say this land is ours, that land is yours. People fight for land. People fight for gold mines. People fight for pearls and gems that are available from the earth. So it's a small piece of earth, but the Lord created the entire universe and he just gave it to us. He was so detached that he told the living beings, okay, you enjoy this. He is so detached. So he is not attached to this world, nor is he directly involved in creation of this universe. So one has to understand the position of Krishna. Because he doesn't perform karma, he is not affected by the karma form. Last time when we were discussing about Lord Krishna's appearance and activities, part of it was left, which we didn't discuss in great detail at that time. Now it will be more easy to understand. Kunti Maharani described Lord Krishna's appearance. Why does Lord appear? I was telling you some of the verses. How he says, the Lord's passions are bewildering, Lord's activities are bewildering, because he behaves like an ordinary human being. One of the verses, she was telling, Janma karma cha vishvatman agasya dartiratmanah priyat narasishu yadasya tadattanta vidambanam. She said, my Lord, although you are said to be an ajanma, you are never born, and you are akartu, you never do any activity, still you are appearing as Matsya avatar, Kurma avatar, Varaha avatar, Vamana avatar, Narsingha avatar, so many avatars. Tadatyanta vidambanam, that is very bewildering. Anybody else remembers? I told 2-3 points similar to this. This is the first one I said. Another Dvakas he said about Yashoda chasing Krishna. She was telling, Yopyadade paikrita dakita matavat yate vashashtaka lilanyana sambramaksham satram miniya bhaya bhavana yasitasya samam timohayatu dhirapi yadvibeti. She says, dhirapi yadvibeti, even fear is afraid of you, my dear Krishna. Even fear is afraid of you. Not only fear, everything is afraid of Krishna. It is said, Madhyat Vati Vatajam Surya Sabad Madhyat. It is said, the ocean does not exceed its limits because it is afraid of God's order. So it does not exceed its limits. The sun rises in the morning, every morning. It never is afraid of summer or winter like we are outside. Every time you see sun up in the sky, sharp in the time. Although we may wake up late someday, although we may want to wake up early. Because out of fear the sun rises. Madhubayat, Vatavayat, Vatan, Surya, Sabdhimadhubayat. And Indra showers the rain. and the fire does the duty of burning, all because of fear for the Supreme Lord. So everything in nature is working according to his direction. But here he is telling, although fear personified is afraid of you are afraid of Yashoda. And that sight is very difficult thing to me. Tatram miniya bhaya bhavane asitasya. Tatram is face. Your face, you are showing such a fear in your face by seeing Mother Yashoda. And I am becoming bewildered by seeing your face. My dear Krishna, she says. So Gopiya today, Vaikrita, this is Dhamatava. She is taking a rope to bind you. And she is chasing you. And you are being caught by her and you are being bound by her. How is it? So this way, Kunti Maharani expressed many bewilderments that she feels, although actually she doesn't feel any bewilderment. As we were explaining in great detail about this bewilderment in Janma Karma Samhita Shloka. But now, these were the bewilderments that she expressed. There are many more. But later she gave answers to her questions, herself. So those answers will be very relevant. So know more about Krishna's activities, why Krishna appears and why he acts in this world. So in answer to her question, she herself gives four answers. First, she says, why Krishna does activities like this? She says, केचिदाहुरजं जातं पुण्यशोकस्य कीर्तये तदो प्रियश्चान्दवाये मलयस्येव चन्दनम्. She says the Lord appears in this world and does so many wonderful pastimes because of various reasons. One, she says, to glorify the pious kings. Ajam Jatam Punya Shapa. Some people say that you appear in this world to glorify the pious kings like Yadu and many other great kings like Yudhishthira and Arjuna and so many other kings. So you want to glorify them by being with them and by highlighting their glory. Krishna is called as Yadava, is it not? Although Krishna is not bound by any particular family, still he agreed to take up the name of Yadava Kulam. So this way Lord appears to glorify great kings. Malaya Seva Chandanam, she says, that is also very significant. Because in Malaya hills, the sandalwood generally appears. But is it necessary that the sandalwood should appear only in Malaya hills? It can appear anywhere. So maybe Krishna can appear anywhere in the creation. But generally he appears in the family of devotees. Like Yadu, or in the house of Devaki and Vasudeva. He appears in the family of devotees. Prabhupada gives an example. You have heard of UD colon? It's actually a scent. But the UD colon is actually prepared in a city called as colon. So the name became UD colon. But it is not that this scent can be prepared only in that city. It can be prepared anywhere in the world. In the same way, Krishna can appear anywhere. But just like sandalwood appears in Malaya hills, in the same way, Krishna prefers to appear in the house of devotees. So she says, in this way, Krishna, you appear just to glorify great kings like Yadu. And she further thought, and she gave another answer for Krishna's appearance. She said, Aparevatu devachya devachya vyachirodhyagat Adattvam asyakshemaya vadaya chasaradvisham. She said, others, my dear Krishna, say, Aparevatu vasudevachya. Because Vasudeva and Devaki performed so much severe penance, he appeared in this world. Vyachita means actually to beg. It is said in the scriptures, Vasudeva and Devaki were actually Krishni and Sutapa, who performed severe penance for several thousand years. After which the Lord appeared in front of them. And Lord asked, what benediction do you like from me? They said, Krishna, we want a son like you. Krishna said, you want somebody like me? There is nobody like me. There is no one equal to me or greater than me. If you want a son like me, maybe I will have to appear myself. So Krishna granted them the benediction. I will myself appear in your house. Do not worry. So because of the prayer, and because they prayed to Krishna appear, Krishna appeared in their families. that is Devo, Devaki acts as his admission. And it is said Krishna also appears to kill that Saradvisham. Saradvisham are those who are envious of Saras, of devotees. Like Hiranyakashipu was so envious of Prahlad. Prahlad was such a small tender part, but Hiranyakashipu was so angry, he wanted to kill him and finish him. So there is always a mentality among demons to harass the devotees and kill devotees. Prabhupada gives the example of Jesus Christ, how he didn't have any evil intention, he simply wanted to preach about God. But there were so many people who were against him, who wanted to kill him. Such people are called as Saradvisham. So the Lord comes to kill. Dadayaya Saradvisham, she said. You are coming to kill such people, my dear Krishna. Krishna is so great that he did not come personally to kill these demons. In fact, his material nature is extremely powerful. Srishti Sati Palaya Sadhana Shaktireka. The Srishti, Sati and Pralaya is all done by his material nature. Creation, maintenance and annihilation is all done by his wonderful material nature. The material nature, when it is very calm, we can see how beautifully it produces grains, how wonderful minerals are coming from the mountains and from the oceans, so many birds, ratnas are produced. So human beings can take all these things and enjoy. But when humans go against the nature, then there is famine, there is flood, then nature goes against the will of the human being. They cannot live a peaceful life. We can see, if Lord decides to finish this world, one wind is enough. Thousands of acres of land have been devastated, houses have been demolished, and in ocean, has such a power that it can submerge. They say, even scientists say, that the melting of ice caps is actually increasing the level of the oceans. Gradually, America is going to be completely submerged in future. So, many, many predictions are being made. So, if Lord decides to the nature to destroy this world, what is our power? He can easily destroy the demons. Not just one or two, billions of them at one stroke. He can do that. But still, Krishna appears to fulfill the desire of his devotees. In fact, he comes in such a way and kills demons in a very special way. It is constantly remembered by the devotees. Like Lord Narasimhadev appears in a very peculiar way from the pillar, in a very special form. And how he killed so intelligently Hiranyakashipu. Devotees never forget that. They constantly talk about this pastime and they remind one another about Krishna. So Lord performs this pastime so that devotees may talk about this pastime and remember him constantly. So in this way, Kunti gave a second reason. Third reason, she said, Dharavataranamyanye Bhuvonava Ivo Dadav Sivantya Bhuri Bharena Yatosha Pabhuvartita. She said, Dharavataranamyanye. Dhara means weight, heavy. You see, the earth with so many big mountains and so many oceans is just floating like a strap of cotton in the sky. Not only earth, there are so many planets within the creation which are all floating in the sky. The reason is, Lord says, I myself enter into these planets and keep them in proper position. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yama Vishyata Bhutani Narayamya Mojasa Krishnani Chaushadi Sarva Somo Bhutvaratatmakaha. Dham means to enter. Yama Vishyata Bhutani. I enter into every planet. Dharayami is the simple word. Dharayami means to hold. I am holding all these planets, my dear Arjun. Exactly like somebody is holding a lot of dust particles of sand in his hand. In the same way, Lord in his gigantic universal form, with his own fist, is holding all the planets in their orbit. digress. We call it the Ananta Shakti. Ananta Shakti, the gravitational force which our scientists are calculating M1, M2, the R2, all these things. That force is actually the Shakti of Ananta, because of which all the planets are held together. Otherwise, we may postulate some of the formulas. Where is the Shakti coming from? That is coming from the Lord. Narayani, he says, I am holding. Without my power, the planets cannot remain in their orbit. So, because God has entered into this planet, we are held in the orbit. Many examples Prabhupada gives. Just like when a person is living, he can swim on the water and float on water. But as soon as he dies, immediately the dead body becomes heavy and it sinks into water. Of course, when it decomposes, it may come to surface. But as soon as one dies, it sinks into water. So, the soul is very, very light. As one advances and one becomes free from the bodily entanglements and one becomes Krishna conscious, as soon as one dies, next moment one will be in Vaikuntha. Immediately. The soul is so light. There is no impediment. Just like a child, you catch the hand of a child and you are walking in the road. But if the child dies, immediately you will see he will fall on the ground. The body becomes heavy. But when the Atma is there, you have just catch a finger and you can walk. That is the ability of the soul. The soul is so light. In the same way, when the Lord enters into all the planets, everything becomes light. The Lord can hold them together. So the bhumi, bharavataranaya ye, bhuvo nav ivodhitam. Just like a ship, which is overburdened, starts sinking in the ocean. In the same way, bhumi, when she observes that there are so many demons who are born in the world, who are not fulfilling the duties of Vishnu, and who are bringing about great disasters in the Vedic culture, then she cannot tolerate. Then the bhumi bhara has increased, and the weight of unwanted burden of the earth has increased. Who are considered to be the burden? Yeah? The very third person? Who is considered burden? Right? Many people don't answer. Somebody from that side? Who are increasing the burden of the world? Demons, correct. Not south people, huh? Demons. They are called as the bhara of the bhumi. The devotee can be very south, no problem. He is never considered a bhara. Whereas demon, how much ever he is thin or skinny, still he is considered a bhara. He is increasing the burden of the earth. Why he is increasing the burden? Just like you have a company. If a company is running smoothly and everyone is doing their duties perfectly, then everyone can be nourished, everything can move nicely. But if somebody is not doing his duty properly and creating trouble, and is doing mischievous behavior, is creating groups, and is making plans to defeat the purpose of the company, then everything is disturbed in the company. So the person becomes a source of disturbance for the company. In the same way, in the earth also, if there are demons who are not allowing the Vedic culture to flourish, the purpose of Vedic culture is to gradually elevate every human being in a progressive way of life towards Krishna, ultimately, to make everyone a devotee. I was telling you last time, you all remember, the Kshatriya's duty is to protect the citizens and establish big temples where the Brahmanas can preach. So all the people of the country, they give tax to the government. And using the tax, the Kshatriya uses it for protecting the people and for building temples to increase the Vedic culture. So people benefit by hearing and they practice Vedic culture. And because they become righteous and follow the law code. And everywhere there is peace and prosperity in this world. And after finishing the term in the world, they all can go back home back to Godhead. This is the program of the Vedas. But if the demons come into this world, then they create a big disturbance. Then they create a great problem in the Vedic culture. They kill cows. The modern culture is a demoniac culture. Millions of cows are being slaughtered. And hundreds and thousands of theatres are being opened. That there are so many pornographic pictures being shown. Now we have the internet, which is global gossip all over the world. So internet, more than 70% is all pornography, which you see. So because of this, the demonic culture is increasing more and more. And the dhara batayanayange, dho nava ivodhadav, just like a ship is sinking in the ocean. Similarly, this bhumi, dhara is increasing. If the power of the bhumi is increasing, then bhumi, the fecundity of the bhumi, she reports to Lord Brahma. Then here Kunti is telling, you come to this world, my dear Krishna, to reduce the burden of this world. That's telling the demons. Dharavatana is here, Bhuvana is here. Chidantya Bhuri Bharayana. Chidantya is actually the trouble caused by the demons. Because Lord Brahma prays to you. That is why we have appeared and we are performing all these activities. After saying all this, she gave a conclusive reason. Very, very wonderful reason. Why Krishna appears in this world? Bhavesmin Krishna Mananam Avidya Kama Karmatihi Shravana Svara Harani Krishna Mitikasana. She said, you appear in this world to rejuvenate devotional service. Because although devotional service has been already established in the past, still, when Krishna comes again into this world and performs colorful pastimes, they are all recorded in the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you come into this world to perform so many wonderful pastimes to rejuvenate devotional service in the lives of devotees. Bhava also means to grow. And this body is changing at every moment. It's always growing. So this body is also called Bhava. Bhava as a Krishna and it's full of misery. Why this body is full of misery? There are vivid explanations given in the scriptures. Just like a thief who wants to indulge in illicit activities. He wants to steal money from somebody's house. He knows that he may be caught. As he knows, in some house there will be a burglar alarm which will produce sound if I go and steal. Then he tries to steal the money. And he is caught, he is put in a jail. He may come out and again he may steal. So he may be punished by the state laws, but again he may continue to steal. Either this is because of ignorance, avidya. So, out of ignorance, one commits sin. When one commits sin, there are sinful reactions. When there are sinful reactions appearing in our body, then the suffering comes. In the same way, even normal course of activities in this world is a source of suffering. Prabhupada gives an example in one of the books. Sometimes one wants to enjoy his senses unlimitedly. In this world, you will observe that your mind takes you in directions which are very dangerous for you to go. It always takes you in destructive direction. And if anyone starts rightfully hearing the mind, he will be ruined in his life. Like our mind says, he will never be satisfied. Any amount of pleasure, he will never be satisfied. So if somebody goes for illegitimate sex, illicit sex, then he gets another disease. And even after getting diseases, he one wants to continue enjoying such a disease. So this leads to further suffering. And even if one is engaging in legitimate family affairs, then when child is produced, then father has to work hard. Especially when one is not a devotee, one's life is not simple. When one becomes a devotee, one's life is very, very simple. Because the family is centered around the little child. When one is not a devotee, then one's desires become unlimited. There is no end to fulfilling the desires of the family members. If you ask the wife, she will have a long list of hundreds of desires. Children, they have hundreds of desires. Son, daughter, wife. So a person is unable to fulfill that desire. He works very hard. He is right in this, but he is unable to fulfill. So the materialistic family has increasing desires, and that makes the person work harder and harder and harder, and there is no end to it. It is like a bottomless hole. Keeps on going, one keeps on working hard throughout the life. That is why he says, Bhavadukka Bhaja. Bhavadukka Bhaja means it's a continuous source of suffering. He says, Bhavesmin Krishyamanana. He says, Kalat Krishyamanana. The world is a place of misery. And even if one thinks, somehow or other I am happy presently, this is only for a short period of time. You may be happy now, but very soon, some kind of misery comes and attacks. You see, everyone in this world is making plans, right from Brahma down to the smallest insect. Brahma is thinking, how nice, how nice it will be if I am given a Brahmanda, I will create wonderfully. I will make master plans and create so many planets. He is thinking. And a small rat is thinking, oh, if I can get into this house, I can make a hole. And there inside I can go and reside there and eat and sleep peacefully. He is making his own plans. And a human being is making plans. Let me build a skyscraper building, let me buy a flat in Bombay. So, he is making his own plans. Everyone thinks, I'll make plans and I fulfill my plans, then I can become happy. Separate from Krishna. I don't need to depend on God. Or even if I depend on God, I will depend on Him only to fulfill my plans. After that, I don't need Him any longer. These are the people who have a mentality. So this is called as avidya. Avidya means ignorance. One forgets his original identity as eternal servant of Krishna. One forgets it. That is the meaning of Bhava. Bhava means body keeps on growing at every age, right from childhood to youth to old age. And one fails to realize his true spiritual identity. And one makes a plan. And all the plans lead one to misery. We make a wonderful plan in the mind, but within that plan is a seed of misery, which is hidden, which you cannot see with your eyes. But when the plan is being fulfilled, you will see, along with the fulfillment of the plan, the misery also comes. It can be practically seen. Simple example, you want to accumulate lot of wealth. You earn lot of money, then the fear of protecting the money comes. Isn't it? Like in market yard, I was shocked here, in one of the shops, a man had been accumulating lot of money till the end of the month. One day he wanted to close his shop and take his money home. He was locking his shop. Some people came and murdered him and stole the money and ran away. So such things happen. Somebody may accumulate lot of money, but even there may be a threat for his life. What to speak of threat for the loss of money? There may be even threat for one's life. Women used to wear, in those days, women used to wear a lot of gold in the ears and the neck. They cut the ears and take them. Or they would pull the chain and go, and it caused the damage to the neck. So, the more one wants to accumulate, the more there is a danger of losing. That is why happiness also always contains a seed of misery attached with it, which we cannot see immediately. But foolishly, the living beings try to become happy in the world, separate from Krishna. And this is called as avidya. Ignorance means thinking that I can be happy without depending on God. I don't have to do anything for God. I can make separate plans, I can be happy. This is illusion. So right from Indra, Yasmin Rukop Madhavendra Mahosa Dharma, Bandhan Rupa Salabhajana Masanoti. Right from Indra, Brahma, down to Indra Gopa, a small flight. Everyone in this world is making plans like that to enjoy independently. So because of it, we suffer. The way in Krishna Manayanam, avidya kama karma bihi. So they have a desire and they perform karma, which actually entangles them. And she is telling Shravana Smaraharani, Krishna Pujachana. And so Lord, you are coming here and performing wonderful pastimes. By hearing, then they will become purified. Shravana means to hear. Smarana means to remember. Argana means to perform worship. So through the scriptures we learn how to worship the Lord. So Prabhupada says, ISKCON temples are established for what purpose? For only one purpose. So the people who are living in a materialistic way, they can get an opportunity, especially in the midst of the cities. People are running here and there, they say, we don't have any time. There's no time for God. So when they see a beautiful temple, then they may enter the temple, and at least for a few moments they may sit in front of the deities. So one doesn't know how to chant Hare Krishna. At least they can look at the beautiful forms of deities of Radha and Krishna. So by beholding the beautiful forms, one makes so much progress. Even a child can do that. That is why We establish Vedic of Radha and Krishna and present them very beautifully, gorgeously, and we offer worship with incense sticks, with everything, with ghee lamps and six offerings a day. In this way, Arjana means to worship. To worship the Lord so that people can gain the benefit of coming to such temples and hearing Krishna Katha and advancing in their lives. But avidya means, even after getting such a facility, not understanding this spiritual facility and taking advantage of it. That is also called as avidya. People sometimes invite them to temples. They say, what is this? They're worshipping God as idol. It's all idol worship. They reject it. But what do? They are ready to worship a politician. Temple says in Calcutta, in the Chowran Square, there is an idol of one Bengali gentleman, one Mukherjee. So, he says, throughout the year, nobody attends to this idol. And all the crows pass the tool every day on his head. And once in a year, in the early morning, somebody comes with a municipal broomstick and puts some water and cleans it in the morning. And evening, a group of 50-60 people come and they garland the idol for that particular day, and they again go away. Next morning again crows pass through. And people are ready to worship such a man. And when you invite them to the temple to worship the Lord, they say that is idol worship. This is avidya, ignorance. So, in order to dissipate such ignorance, Lord comes and offers the scriptures. He's coming and giving the scriptures in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so that this can enlighten them. Especially, Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Puranarko Dinodita. What is it, Shoka? Krishne Sadama Pagate Dharma Jnana Adivissa. Kalau Nasta Krishamesha Puranarko Dinodita. Kalau Nasta Krishamesha Puranarko Dinodita. Arka actually means sun. Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun. So, she takes full advantage of it. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is by Krishna, and Krishna speaks to Arjuna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna in very great detail. There are so many wonderful teachings about Krishna and his devotees. So, by reading it, one can become enlightened, one can become free from avidya, kama, karmati. Actually, these words are connected. When one has avidya, then one has kama separate from Krishna. And when one has karma, one performs karma. And when one performs karma, that leads to entanglement in the world. So these three words are put in a line, avidya, kama, karma, bhi. That's it. So shravana smaraha hari is Krishna Upakeshana. So in this way, Kunti very beautifully puts the reason for how the Lord comes into this world and how he performs his activities for the benefit of the soul. So we already explained that the Lord, when he performs activity in the world, it should not be mistaken to be ordinary. Because his body is such a spiritual, such an ananda. And he comes only after the causeless mercy of the soul. He has no reason to come here. He can happily perform pastimes in the Vaikuntha Lokas, spiritual world. But he simply comes out of causeless mercy. Although all these reasons which I said just now are proposed by Kunti, ultimately it is understood that Lord comes simply to satisfy his devotees. As we said in the Sukha of Janma Karma Chamaitriya. But to please the devotees he comes. And when he performs activities in the world, they never bind him. Because Lord is Atmaram. He is satisfied in his own self. Atmaram is one who does not take pleasure in anything outside of him. All of us take pleasure in anything outside of us. You all can make a list of things after you go back. Think and make a list of things which give pleasure to you. What are the things that attract you the most? Everyone is attached to something. You ask a child, he's attached to a toy, a tricycle or a toad bear or something. You ask a boy or a girl, they are attached to something. You ask a man working in a company, he'll be attached to a superior post, he'll be waiting for promotion. Or you ask IIT student, he'll be asking to go abroad. Everyone has attachment to something in the world, outside of themselves. Nobody knows how to intelligently derive happiness from within by surrendering to the Lord. Nobody knows that. But only the Lord and His devotees know how to become Atmaram. Atmaram is one who is completely satisfied with itself. And if even such an Atmaram becomes a great devotee of Krishna and he derives success from Krishna by surrendering to Krishna. So Krishna, being Atmaram, he does not do any work for achieving anything. You see, if you have attachment for anything outside of you, naturally what happens? When that is taken away, there is misery. Immediately there is misery. First of all, you suffer a lot in endeavoring to achieve something. And as soon as you achieve it, you are not happy because you are fearful of losing it. Because you know that the material world is such that it will not allow you to keep anything continuously with you for all time to come. Even if you can keep it, either you will pass away first or that will pass away. Isn't it? So you know that it is temporary. So the fear is always there. When you don't achieve it, you are hankering and working hard to achieve it. After you achieve it, you have the fear of losing it. So either way you are not happy. But Atmaram is completely happy. When you chant Krishna's name and you achieve Krishna, you can never lose him. Because he becomes a property. Can anybody take away Krishna from you? Is it possible? Because Krishna and soul have such an intimate relationship that you will be intimately connecting yourself with Krishna within the heart. Nobody can take anything. Whatever they take which is around you, they may not be able to cause any destruction to you. So this is the meaning of actually Atma. So Lord is supreme and he doesn't do any activity for achieving anything. Yes. That's why he says, Namam Karmani Limpanti, Name Karma Phalai Pratha. Karma Phal does not, I am not attached to even. Pratha means aspiration. I am not aspiring for any fruits of my action. Vidimam Yogi Janati, Karma Ve, Natadakvite. And one who knows this, the result of knowing this truth, you know what is it? Such a person also is not bound by the reactions. He's telling. So one should very intelligently understand this aspect. The activities done by the living beings in this world are all ultimately done by God. But sometimes people say, everything is done by God. Even my smoking is done by God. You know people say that? Everything is, I am just like a puppet, everything is God is doing. People say, you have seen that? But if you very carefully analyze the truth, the living being initiates his actions by desiring. And Paramatma and the Prakriti being neutral, they fulfill those desires. As soon as the Lord observes the desire, this is how the activity takes place. So I have explained this before also, it's like a tripod. The Jiva, the Paramatma and the Prakriti. Prakriti is dead, it's inactive. It cannot act on its own without the Lord's dictation. But the Lord will not dictate unless he observes the desire in you. Suppose he expresses the desire, if a person is smoking, that means he has expressed the desire to smoke. And the Lord is fulfilling it through the agency of Prakriti, namely the material body. He dictates and goes to the shop, he buys and he smokes like that. Suppose one may ask the question, why should Lord allow somebody to go in the wrong way? Lord would never ever like somebody to go in the wrong way. The Lord, even against his own desires, he allows the living being to go in the wrong way. So that he may continue to be independent and learn his own good lessons. Either one has to learn by hearing, or if one cannot learn by hearing, then one has to experience and understand that same truth. That is saying in English, experience is the best teacher, and a fool learns by no other way. You know the saying? What is the meaning? Experience the best teacher. So we all think, that means every one of us has experience. But what does the second part of the saying go? That a fool learns by no other way. That means what is another way available? Hearing. The intelligent person should hear and understand the truth. For example, if you tell someone, if you climb up to the 10-story building and jump down, you will break your leg. He hears it and he never does it. He is a first class person. Second class, second class person, he goes up. He jumps from there. He breaks his leg. and he is in the hospital bed, and you go to meet him, he tells you, sorry, what you told is very true, henceforth I will never do it. Learn a good lesson. And third class person, what he says? He says, actually I didn't give him a proper handle. After curing, after 6 months, again he climbs up. Third class person. So in this way there are many class of people who do the same mistake again and again. So imprisoned person means we should hear once and we should not commit the same mistake again. So we have to understand how this actual mistake is. I've written a statement from the previous material. They explain the living entity deserves as Krishna sanctions it, material nature facilitates the activity. Yet the weight of responsibility for the action rests solely on the living entity. Do you understand this point? I'll again repeat it. Living entity desires to act. Krishna sanctions it. Material nature facilitates the activity. Yet, the weight of responsibility for the action rests solely on the living being. That means, whatever actions we perform, we are responsible. A similar point is that here, although this entity has no independent power to act, he initiates actions by his desires. While both supersoul and material nature being neutral, it will take that fulfillment. So you understand three things are discussed here. One is Jiva, one is Lord, and one is Prakriti. Out of the three, which two are neutral? Krishna and the Prakriti, they two are neutral. And the Jiva is the one under illusion, he is desiring many, many wrong things. And they are neutral and they are just fulfilling his desires. All of you understand this point? So, that is why we are all getting bound in between types of karma. But when one understands, this is a science of action in this world. And Lord is completely free from all actions. Lord is transcendental. Such a person also becomes transcendental. So, in the subsequent shlokas, we will be giving more examples of pastimes of the Lord which are transcendental in the future classes, because we have some more shlokas on karma. So, Lord is telling about himself how he is free from karma in some more shlokas. So, we will discuss some of the transcendental activities of Lord, in which Lord never becomes bound. Sometimes people always try to give reason for the Lord's appearance. The Lord did like this, so in the next life he suffered like that. When he was Ramachandra, he did like this. So when he came as Krishna, he suffered like that, they will say. Actually, both for the Lord and the devotees, there is no karmic reaction. There is no karmic reaction. So that has to be very scientifically understood. Only then, as Krishna promises here, karma be nasapadyate. If you scientifically understand how Lord and his devotees are not bound while they perform action, then you will also not become bound. That means you will also not have karma bandhana. At the end of your life, you can go back home, back to Godhead. When is it possible? When you properly understand that the Lord is transcendental and pure. And his actions are all pure. None of his actions are impure, or none of his actions are going to bind him. So, I stop at this point. Do you have any questions? One or two questions for us. You are always looking to me. I would not expect any questions from either of you. The questions are reserved for those who come for this day. Except I will ask you. Any other questions? Yes, we are certainly puppets. See, a person who wants it more, he doesn't even know how to do it. Lord only gives him direction how to do it. Just like your lizard who is born newly, as soon as he is born, coming out of the egg, you know, he has not even opened his eyes. slowly opening his eyes. But as soon as he sees a fly, you know, immediately catches it. That is getting intelligence. God is only giving the intelligence. That, when a soul is mischievous and trying to enjoy separate from Krishna, Lord makes arrangement for that. He is simply like a Kalpataru, wish fulfillingly. Whatever you want, you will get. Like if you know the story, you know, somebody went under a Kalpataru and he said, how nice it will be if I can get a plate full of nice items to eat. He got it. How nice it will be if I can get a easy chair to relax. He got it immediately, he was relaxing. How nice it will be if I can get some fruit juice. He got that. I'm wondering, whatever I ask, I'm getting from this tree. The entrance is if a tiger comes in front of me. Immediately a tiger came and ate me. So, in the same way, Lord is like a Kalpataru. Whatever you desire, he reciprocates with you in the same way. You go to Krishna and bow down to him and tell him, please Krishna, purify my mind. Immediately purify it. You go to Krishna and ask him, I want this. In fact, Krishna says, so many people come here. Somebody comes to him for fulfilling the desire of becoming free from suffering. Artho, Jignyasu, Arthasu, Jnani. He is entertaining all of them. He is calling them to be devotees. And he is fulfilling their desire. So he will fulfill any desire he wants. So if you want a cheating guru, he will take you to a cheater. If you want a true guru, he will take you to a true guru. Anything according to the desire of bringing a person like that. So who should be blamed? The desirer or the person who fulfills? We have only desire. It's a check of a wrong desire. And why the Lord fulfills? If he doesn't fulfill, the living entity is going to continue performing some practice in the body. He doesn't want to see the living being and the Lord have a loving relationship. But can love be enforced by the living being? Can I take a stick and beat someone and tell him, tell her or tell him that he should love me? He cannot. So Krishna doesn't want to force us to love him. He says, okay, let me leave him to enjoy the way he wants. That is not lesson. Prabhupada gave a beautiful example. Like a child sometimes wants to put his finger in the fan, in a rotating fan. But what will happen to him if he puts his finger? It will finish. So the father puts out the fan and the fan is rotating very slowly. Then he says, better than he put his finger. When he puts it, it hits. He really realizes, oh, it's so painful. And he learns the lesson. But when the fan is not rotating, it is so painful. If it doesn't rotate, how much more painful it will be. In the same way, Krishna wants us to learn a good lesson ourselves. So that the living beings can learn a good lesson and serve to him afterwards. After many lifetimes. Hare Krishna. Are we here? Because of past influence, we have committed so many bad activities in the past. Because of it, there is a particular kind of atmosphere set up in our mind. Like for example, now you want to become a devotee. You want to become very gentle in your behavior. You want to perform all devotional activities. You want to speak good, think good, and do good. But then you see that the mind is not cooperating. That is the mind. Things of grossly abominable things. These are all actually coming from the sinful seeds of the previous life. Previous life, actually. The sinful seeds are still there. Very beautifully, and Haridam Chinta made it explain that we all have begun giving up our sinful life. Like you take two walls. One wall is sinful life, another wall is pure life. So we have to go from here to that. From sinful life to pure life. So now you are somewhere in between. That means you are not completely pure. The painful propensities are still there in the heart because of previous life vasanas. But if you again commit them, then it is strongly registered as an impression in your mind, which is called as vritti. And again you fall back to sinful life. But if one tolerates the urges, Vatsavegam, Manasavegam, Krodhavegam, Jihvavegam, Udharavegam, Upasthavegam, all these urges, and sincerely execute devotion service, then one goes to a pure life, and when one reaches pure life, then one will not have any trace of previous sins. He will not have any trace of Pura Janma Vasana. They will all be completely erased. So now, in our neophyte stage, we all are suffering because sometimes we are pure and sometimes we are contaminated. Sometimes our mind practically tears apart. As we were discussing in one of the classes, one side Krishna is pulling, this side, that Maya is pulling. We are practically like a tug of war, and in between. This is in the beginning stage, but as we advance in spiritual life, we will see that we are more towards Krishna, and we have very little attraction to Maya. And we become completely purified, there is not even a trace of vasana. Your mind will spontaneously become attracted to Krishna at the least expected moment. Now, at the least expected moment, the mind is spontaneously going to Maya. You are chanting, you are trying to chant sincerely. Without your own knowledge, you have gone into Maya already. Whereas when you become very advanced, especially after the stage of asakti, one's mind spontaneously springs towards Krishna and becomes absorbed in Krishna. Even when one has to execute the material duties, one is doing the material duty, that mind goes mad after Krishna. It will come to that stage. That was Pura Janma Vasana will be completely burned to ashes. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Adaidhan Samitrasme, Bhasmasat Kurte Arjuna, Yanandi Dasta Karmani, Bhasmasat Kurte Hata. Just like one spark of fire can burn the entire pile of straw. In the same way, one pure name chanted with sincerity. Hari name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the pure name can burn the big piles and piles to the actions that we accumulated for millions of lifetimes. Correct. Coming to association. Oh, you can come into association only when your previous Ajnana Sukriti becomes matured to a certain stage. Only then you are given the opportunity to come into association. Otherwise, you are not ordinary souls. You all have done some of the Ajnana Sukriti and when it matures up, like you know, you put FC and all the time, you know, only after it matures you can remove it, isn't it? So it has to mature up to a particular stage. Only then they can come into association. No, Ajnana Sukriti is the beginning. If that is not there. In fact, one who is devoid of Ajnana Sukriti, he will speak in a very atheistic way. You can see. People, they will speak about Krishna consciousness, they will be averse to that. That some people are little favorable. Like you, sometimes people, as soon as they see you, they say Hare Krishna. But you ask them, we chant Hare Krishna. No, 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 I cannot chant. I have no time. So those people are actually accumulating Ajnana Sukriti. So when you meet these people, you can gradually keep on increasing their Ajnana Sukriti by giving prasad to them, giving books to them, giving prayers to them. Very soon you'll find in a few months they'll be into the association. Because their Ajnana Sukriti is matured up. And they can be also into association. It's possible. So that is the way, only way. No. I don't know who said it is past karma, but the fall downs, in fact there was a big article on fall down, discussion on fall down, about 20 pages. That article discusses many things. One of the strong reasons for fall down is lack of strictness in following the regulative principles. One of the primary reasons. Lack of strictness in following the regulative principles. So the shastras give regulations for everyone. The one is the sannyasi, he should have restriction in associating with women. Abhayam sattva samshakti, we were discussing. Jnana yoga vishthiti. That is somebody thinks it is a woman too much, a sannyasi, then he can fall down. Similarly, there are some people who have gone to very high positions due to which they became very proud. They thought they are all knowing. And they actually lost the association of the God with us. See, even we all will see that. For example, when the years pass by, we grow in spiritual life to such high positions that we don't get the association of equals. Rather, we are always surrounded by juniors. There are so many young people around us, and we are left alone. So when we are left alone, we may think we are king. We may think we are the topmost person, and our association is most needed by everyone. So there were people, great deities and great people, who were occupying big zones, and they were very big people. And they started developing a kind of pride, and they started offending the God to this. They said that this person is not good, he doesn't know this, he is not talented in this, they offended the God to this. Gradually they offended Srila Prabhupada, ultimately they left the movement. A friendship devotee is one thing which can take us away from spiritual life very easily. Vaishnava Prabhu. Because Krishna cannot tolerate it. He will temporarily put a covering over all that we did in the present life and keep it aside. Just like a checkbook, we have 20 lakh rupees in the bank. But if you use the checkbook, you become a beggar in the street. Isn't it? If you don't have a checkbook, can you withdraw money from the bank? You lose it somewhere, you don't have it. So temporarily, such people become like a beggar devoid of any piety. But then Krishna, they will give the severe punishment to them to purify them, and maybe in the same life or in the next life, when they come to sanity, again he will open them to the source of all the spiritual activities they did in the past. Again they will become Krishna devotees. So many of the devotees who fell down, the Swami is either not following the principles, or some people in the morning, instead of standing, they are sitting in the computer. Early morning they wake up, they say this is the best time to send emails. Because you know, in the night, late night, people are sending emails. We wake up early morning, like in our temple, we wake up at 3:30 and we come to Mangalarti and we, you know, sing so many glorifications of the holy names. So we are spending time like that. Whereas in some places what people do, they are saying we are so busy, we are leaders, we have to send emails to people, we have to do so much, we have to attend SPT calls in the early morning. So they spend all the time in that, they don't do the sadhana. When they go in the car or in the bus, they try to chant the names. How can they chant properly? In the bus car and the car you can see. So because of lack of strictness in following the principles, they fall down. That is why in our temple we attend street morning, we don't attend any phone calls. Even SPT calls used to come regularly to me at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I try to attend. Now we have made a strict rule that we will not attend, like don't come in the morning. So they will learn a lesson that nobody takes phone in the temple. So as far as our sadhana is concerned, we cannot compromise. We have to be very strict. Sadhana. So only those who have shown a slackness in sadhana or some people went to such high positions that they became too independent. They never associated their equals and God to this and took any good advice. So there are many reasons for that. There are at least about 10-15 reasons for why a person falls down. So one has to very carefully guard against this dangers in spiritual life when one wants to advance. Pride is one very strong reason for many people to fall. When we go to high position, actually we start to become very proud. If we remain simple, we will not become proud and we can very smoothly advance in the spiritual life. So we will do chitam for 5 minutes. 9 o'clock, then finish. Actually, this is the time we want to finish the class every time. So that the devotees can take prasadam and return home.